This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, running alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
Danielle, what is up, Super D?
Oh, we had the best weekend ever.
Are you going to jump right into it? Is that what's going on here?
Oh, I was just talking about the holiday dough hunt.
Oh, okay. You were not. You were not talking about... Danielle Fairman and I, not only do we get to host this awesome show that goes throughout the great state of Wisconsin on all the Civic Media stations.
Yes, it does.
13 of them now, going to be expanding more, and we're going to be...
That's so exciting. Do we have like a round of applause?
I have a secret. We may, I'm not sure, we may be moving into even a couple music stations with our show.
Look at us grow.
Producer Jess, are you fully responsible? Are you the person who has made this show so great? Because
Yes, she is. I mean, she is fantastic.
We
love you, Jess.
What an addition you are. Yes, you guys are both great. I just want everybody to know that I consider it an honor to host this show. I love Wisconsin more than life itself.
Couldn't tell. It really is that great.
Wow. It is really that great of a state.
It's easy to love.
Danielle Fairman and I, we have been hunting together and doing media together for more than a decade now, probably close to 13 years, yep. I would say. And we put our money where our mouth is. And I want
to. We sure do.
We actually get out there and we hunt together. Danielle is, if you can believe this, I mean, I've had some pretty unbelievable experiences in my life. Danielle is crazier than me.
You go down
and you stick your hand under rocks to try to catch fish, catfish. Now,
can I say the phrase?
Say it.
I'm sometimes embarrassed to say this, and I say sometimes, YOLO.
Oh, no.
That was Danielle's dad joke.
Come on. Now Danielle's starting to do Danielle jokes.
My mom joke.
I'm going to tell you something that's really cool to me. What's really cool to me is we've got more and more people who are coming up to me and saying, hey, man, I listened to your show. Mm-hmm. We were really on the way to the studio last time, and my friend George Ermert works for the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. He's on the board. He called us while we were driving to tell us how great, how much he loves listening to the show. That is so cool. People are talking about it at the gas station. What I'm trying to impart to you is if you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. We love the fact that you folks are listening to us on Raised in Wisco. This is not, if people say, what kind of show? And someone says, it's a hunting show. This is not just a hunting show. There is something on this show about Wisconsin and what you can do in the outdoors and how you can bring that outdoors to the indoors, to your dinner table.
Yep.
Every single show, we talk about food. We got a really, really exciting guest today who's going to talk about food and preparation of food and cooking food. We've got Ellie Mae Smoller is with us today. Woo-hoo. Sometimes fill-in, sometimes co-host. She is also a diehard true hunter. But what excites me, honestly, one of the things that I find most exciting about Ellie Mae is that she is a classically trained French chef. Producer Jess, did you know that?
I knew that because you said it in a previous episode.
Okay.
She knows it because I love butter.
But also that. The first conversation I think that Ellie and I had was about how butter is just the best thing in the world.
It really is. We fell in love that day, Jess.
You butter believe it.
Two dad jokes, not by me.
Just call me Joel Clayfish.
I need to point out, not by me. Megan Matthews is with us today, and this woman is a true round-the-world hunter. She's not nearly as obnoxious as the rest of us when she talks, so we got to drag it out of her for once in a while, but she's like a hunter around the world. She's lived in so many places and had some great experiences. So, Megan, you need to count dad jokes today, and then at the end...
I'm on it.
All right, awesome. Awesome. Hey, I got a dad joke. Megan will audit the dad jokes. Why is that not a good joke? That's a great joke.
Pass. Negative one.
Hey, you better behave.
No, you can't use mine.
Can't reuse it.
I thought we were on a butter topic.
No,
here.
We're past that. Gosh.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we're here?
You can't use. Oh, no.
Okay.
We need to stop.
Jess has her hands on her
something
head.
In Wisconsin
Everybody,
this week.
Let's get to a topic.
Oh, my
goodness. But oil returned to the butter jokes. I can't get it out. Hand five, everybody.
Hand five. Oh, speaking of hand five, I asked
Okay, you need to
people.
Explain. You got to explain to the audience what the hand five is. We have a guest on the show, Alex Ezel, who runs.
Shout out to Alex.
She works for the First Hunt Foundation. She takes many new hunters and women out into the field. Now, I'm just revisiting something that happened last week. She believed for her entire 35 years of life that a high five was called a hand five.
So
now,
wrong.
We all have
not
things
one
we mispronounce.
Person uses that. Not one person.
I bet you there's someone in the world who says hand five.
I have asked probably about 20, 25 people. Not
she actually
one.
Did a poll on Facebook and everybody said high five and she was
Everybody.
Crushed.
She'll get over it. It's
she's
fine.
Over
she's
it.
So cool. I'm sure she's fine with it. The point I was going to make, if you're a first-time listener or if you're joining us, we love to have you folks along for the ride. You can listen to our show after it airs. So you know, I hope everybody had a fantastic holiday and I hope you enjoyed the holiday show. And today is, I think, day 6 of Hanukkah. So if you're celebrating that, enjoy it.
Hanukkah's over.
I hope you had a great Hanukkah, everybody.
Thanks, man.
I hope your Hanukkah was blessed. I hope you had a great Christmas, and I hope this past week you had a great, safe New Year's Eve celebration. In 2025, we are so excited about the adventures that are going to be on their way for Raised in Wisco, and you can listen to those. If you don't catch us live, and we hope you do catch us live on Civic Media, if you don't catch us live, you can listen to the podcast of that live show. Danielle, tell them where they can hear it.
You can listen to us on civicmedia.us/RaisedInWisco. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Facebook, Apple Music, and the good old YouTube where you can see our beautiful faces and all of us laughing. And plus, we dance between during the music intros. So it's
and
fantastic.
I just want to be clear. We usually do. I want to be clear, though. Jess has got some kind of magic filter on me. I don't actually look like this in real person.
I just sprinkle a little bit of fairy dust on where you
I wish I could walk around with that fairy dust. I think she's got like the thin filter on, too. I don't know. I feel pretty good about it. I think it's maybe partially my Raised in Wisco hat that Danielle made for us, which
pretty
is pretty sweet
mm-hmm.
as well. We had such an incredible weekend and we have such an incredible show. I'm so excited about it. I told you Ellie Mae is here, but a longtime friend of mine, somebody I hunted with for one of the first hunts of my life and have known him for a couple decades now, Mike Kretschmer is here. Mike Kretschmer is now a big wig at Nye's Premium Meats.
That's
N-E-Y-S Premium Meats in Schlinger.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay. Why are there people who call it Schlinger?
You're the only person. Fun.
You've never heard that before?
No.
I promise. Mike, answer my question. Do people in Schlinger sometimes call it Schlinger? There's a little bit of an S.
Give him a hand five if so.
Schlinger. Come on, you guys.
No, it's actually, I can't even say it right
it's
now. Schlesingerville
that's
was the
right.
original name
and
of it.
And that's
what?
Why some people call it Schlinger.
It's a tongue twister.
When I worked at Channel 12, I worked with two guys, John Kenny and Dave Bakken, and they were the greatest photographers, fantastic dudes I ever knew, and they called it Schlinger all the time. And I was like, you guys, you know, stop being so silly. And they were like, people from Schlinger call it Schlinger. It's kind of like Russine, Racine. People from the place often call it different. I mean, it shouldn't be New Berlin. It should be New Berlin. It's named after Berlin, Germany. It should be New Berlin. But anyway, I don't know. Nye's Premium Meats in Schlinger is where you work.
Correct.
And you probably recognize the name Mike Kretschmer because he's been a fill-in guest. Kind of when I, if I have to dip, Michael fill
when
in
I
for
dip,
me.
You dip, we dip.
And when you dip, Ellie Mae usually kind of fills in for you, Danielle. So we love
Two
the
weeks,
fact
you'll be filling
that
in
you're
for
getting
me.
To know the crew a little bit and love having you along. And this year, this is our first show, inaugural show of 2025. We've got a new federal government. We've got a new state government. One thing that we have that has not changed is the awesome things to do in the state of Wisconsin. And this show is going to kick it off with a really exciting stuff. We're going to talk to Mike about meat handling, meat preparation, wild game cooking. He's a diehard hunter as well. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk to Ellie Mae. Ellie Mae, who is a classically trained French chef who cooks wild game almost as much as store purchased meat. Is that fair to say?
Not a lot of store purchase meat. I'm blessed with some
Even
local
more.
Farmers.
Ooh.
So it's about 60-40, 60 wild, 40 farm.
That's a dream come true, to be honest.
It's fantastic.
So we're going to get into cuisine because, Danielle, what do I say? Our every show
is always it ends in a cooking show. It's always a cooking show.
Jess
and
is laughing.
Food
back
is
there.
His favorite dish.
Dish. Aww. Oh, you really do know me. Food is my favorite dish. And I couldn't be more excited about taking what Wisconsin and its land and its resources provide and bringing them to the table in the quintessentially most important way to get to know people, to share your heart and your soul. And that is through their stomach. That applies to men and women and kids. So we hope you come along with us. And coming up, Danielle and Ellie and I got our rear ends out of bed at about 3:30 in the morning a few days ago, and we had the hunt
yes, we did.
Of a lifetime. I'm not joking, and I have to say, Danielle's hunted with me many times, and every time so far we've gone to my permission or my field, and we've hunted my stuff, and this time Danielle knocked on the door, Danielle got the permission, Danielle scouted it, and I'll be honest, I was a little nervous about
You're
the scout
always
and everything.
A little nervous.
I was cheering for you from the beginning.
Thank you.
Well, I was cheering for her too, but you will not believe what happened. It
and
was
five.
Really one of the greatest hunts I've ever been on, and I got to do it with my buddy Danielle. So make sure that you listen to that. That's going to be great, and we're going to talk food. I'm so excited. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Man, how do you go wrong with that? I'm Joel Clayfish. That is Danielle Fairman. The show you're listening to is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And when I say one-stop shop, I'm talking about cooking, too, cooking and eating. Because really, at the end of the day, there is one thing in the entire world, only one thing that bonds every single human being on Earth. One thing in common for every single human being on Earth, and that is we all need to eat. And
sure do.
There is no better way to do it than when you take it from the great outdoors and put it on your plate. I'll tell you that. Wow.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
what is that referring
I'm
to?
I'm wowing to what that refers to is 2 days ago, and one of the best put it on the table in the future events of my life happened. And I'm so excited to say it happened with Danielle Fairman. We went turkey hunting. Ellie Mae Smoller, Danielle Fairman, and I packed ourselves into a tent, into a
ground blind, really.
A ground blind, a small ground blind. And like I was saying, and for listeners, you know, who know that Danielle and I have known each other for, you know, better part of a decade and a half, mm-hmm. we hunt together from time to time. And I would say 90%, if not most of the time, we come to a field that I've got permission for.
I call Joel. Joel, you want to come on to one of my fields? Is it a guarantee? Is it going to happen?
Okay, no.
Questions. I have never said,
is it a guarantee?
You have not. No, you have
never.
Not. I inserted that myself.
Never.
Okay.
I will separate you two.
Start fighting.
I have never. Hunting is. No, I am just, I'm psychotic about scouting. Scouting, knowing when something's in the field, when it's not, when it's going to roost. Because really, if you're going to spend the time and energy to get out there and hunt, you want to put yourself in the best position mm-hmm. possible. However, I will say some of my most enjoyable moments in the field have not produced any, you know, dead animals at the end of it.
Absolutely.
And I'm perfectly mm-hmm. okay with that as well. So Danielle says, I got a turkey field. Well, let's try it out. So I'm asking her the 8 million questions about how many turkeys, where they're going, did you watch them to roost? Did
I
you see them in the morning?
I was very proud
of
myself. I definitely gave myself a pat on the back because every single question you ask, I'm like, yeah, this is what it is. This is what happens. This is where I saw them. This is what it looks like. This is what's happening. I was very proud of
you
myself.
You rocked it, Danielle.
Oh my gosh. I think this is the point in the episode where I reinforced to everybody, scouting is the hunting. The actual day of the hunt, that is either that's not the hunting. That's either the killing or the enjoying the atmosphere mm-hmm. of the weather and the sunset and sunrise. Scouting is so important. And you don't have to be completely detailed about it, but Danielle had answers to every one of my questions and she was right. And still we were both nervous because that's how hunting goes. And if you lose that excitement to get out there and do it and you lose the game plan and the excitement, then it's just not for you. Just enjoy the outdoors in a different way. So we all got up extremely early and we headed out to the field because I have a general rule that I like to follow. If you're a turkey hunter, I think you got to be in and set up at least a half hour before shooting time, because if those turkeys start to wake up or notice you setting up, you can be in trouble because they're not going to come down or anywhere near you. They're at least that instinctive, right? Mm-hmm. So Danielle, we're laughing. Well, because I thought Danielle and I had a very clear plan. I thought we had a very clear plan together. And then we walk into the middle of the field.
We
walk to the edge of the field.
Opposite, then this one way and then the other way. We both talked and we both put out three different ideas. And both of us
that
hooked
I thought
on
we
the
had
other idea of what the other person
before.
It was really fun watching it all go down. I'm like, if y'all aren't going to pick a spot, I'm just going to sit right here.
Well, Joel and I, we think, okay, so I do not know how this is going to sound. We think similar because we're very similar, but we
execute slightly differently.
Very, very differently, yes.
And halfway through, after discussing the plan of setting up the blind, because we brought a heater along and everything, I love to be comfortable when I'm hunting.
Yeah, that
if
was
you're cold,
nice.
You're miserable.
It was perfect.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, and we had discussed this, and then halfway, we're walking along the tree line, and Danielle's like, there's a natural blind back here in the woods.
Well, that was
and
the
I'm
point,
like,
cause we were talking about the night before.
What a natural blind.
I was telling you, I made a nice blind.
See, I didn't know about that plan, and I'm like, there's a blind on Joel's back right now, and I think we're going to use that one.
And then Ellie is like, hey, a-holes.
Yeah,
shut
you did.
Up.
Yes.
Did you hear
There were a couple other words, but yeah.
Just like so what I mean, Ellie, what did you hear that we didn't hear at first, because we were discussing,
y'all were discussing. Worried about where we're going to the natural blind or the blind that Joel had on his back. And while they're figuring out that, I'm like, we have warning clocks. Shut up, you guys.
And that,
reverse.
I'm going to tell you something.
We
when
were
you
early,
hear a
early.
Warning clock, that is only if they have caught on to you from the mm-hmm. roost mm-hmm. that early. And a warning clock, for those of you who never know, it's like a mm-hmm. burp, 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 you are screwed.
Yes, you
when
are.
When you hear that. Because those turkeys, they know something is down there, danger. They probably don't know if it's a coyote or some other predator, raccoons, and you know, anything that'll go after a turkey. And all of a sudden I'm like, we are dead in the water.
But what I do love about all three of us is right when that happened, us three were on the same page. We both just, all three of us turned around and walked back.
And we went right back,
and then that was it.
Now, listen, I'm not the most stealthy person on earth, but I was like, oh my gosh, we are jacked right now. So we just start slowly backing out. And I look at Danielle and I'm like, we're going with the plan from last night.
It was miscommunication.
Mr. and miscommunication.
miscommunication. So we back out and we set up, and then I set the blind and Danielle's like,
we were sticking all the way out.
We moved back further into the woods.
There was like, a clear opening, Joel.
And I'm like, would you guys just get in the blind and sit down?
We are not arguing on air, Joel. There was a hole.
You guys are painting a perfect picture of how this went down, though. This is enjoyable reliving it.
If we would have scooted 5 feet to the right, there was a hole to go in. There was no tall grass, crunching on
leaves and sticks, and that warning clock, the two warning clocks we heard would have told it turned into a cacophony of warning clocks. A clucking cacophony.
That's a big word.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I was going to send you two to the truck.
Listen, I thought we were doomed. I thought we were doomed, and you are not going to believe what happened.
This segment's over? What?
You are not going to believe what happened.
It was all arguing.
It was.
It took us long in the field, too.
Pretty much like regular life. This is Raised in Wisco. Just wait till you hear what happened.
As you hold me tight and tell me that everything's all right. I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you know?
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
This is Raised in Wisco, where we go old school and reminisce about holidays that just happened 7 days ago, I guess.
I mean, this point in time, we're building snowmen.
It is funny.
Yeah.
It is fun to listen to Willie Nelson sing Frosty the Snowman. I have to admit that.
It is pretty frosty outside, though.
It is frosty outside. I'm Joel Clayfish. That is Danielle Fairman. In the studio with us is Ellie Mae Smoller, Mike Kretschmer, Megan Matthews. We are having a party. Producer Jess, as always, is at the helm of the ship. Hey, are you keeping us on course in there today?
I'm doing my best here. There are five of you, and the water's choppy in different directions.
You know, we're talking about a hunt that Ellie and Danielle and I went on, hunting turkeys. We get into the field early. We hear the warning clock, because Danielle and I had little different ideas about where we're going to set up. We hear a warning clock. We back out. We start to set up. And I mean, and then, you know, we set the blind down and Danielle's like, we should move it 4 inches this way. And I said, we'll keep it 4 inches this way. It'll be fine. And we set up and we get in and we turn the heater on and it's super comfy. And all of a sudden, we start hearing turkeys behind us. Like, not one, not two, not 10, not 20, 50. Not 50. Because at that point, you start to say to yourself, all right, we know there's turkeys in the trees behind us. We got in quietly enough because now it had been quiet for a while. The warning clucks we heard subsided. And we're hearing clucks, purrs, that little boink, boink thing, which I don't know what that is. It just usually means they're happy. And all of a sudden, one flies down. We hear it fly down, but it flew down behind us. In fact, for whatever reason, I think maybe Danielle and I have shot too many guns in our lives. We couldn't hear half the stuff Ellie heard. I don't know how Ellie heard.
I think
heard
it's because your mouths were running.
Whoa.
I mean, I was
you
hunting.
You two are the chit chatters. Are you kidding me? I'm sitting there. You guys are like, you're a little quiet today.
Here's,
what? Because I'm hunting.
The irony of the statement of Ellie. Know what saying you're that say. Is that Ellie spoke the most by far.
Yeah, because I had to tell you guys what was going on. Like, warning clucks. Okay, they're coming down from the roost now. Okay, shut up, you guys. Like,
I love
the field.
I love how all three of us have a different view of this whole entire hunt.
And I think life is about, and I always tell people you can settle a lot of arguments if you just look at the way someone else views something. And very clearly, there were different viewpoints happening. But
we do have fun hunting together, just so everyone knows.
Oh my gosh.
Crying, laughing.
The biggest thing I was worried about was that we were laughing so often and hard before sunrise that I thought there's no way a wild animal within 10 miles doesn't know we're here. I mean, we were laughing our asses off.
Can we put in that it was foggy? It was pea soup out there. It was so foggy. That was the most perfect part about the whole entire thing.
It was fog. The fog had come down, but the fog was kind of hovering about 20 yards above the ground. It was just beautiful.
It was. Yeah.
And we start hearing these clucks in the back. You know, and yelps and purrs. And I'm thinking to myself, people who never experienced this, they do not understand what they are missing. It was so unbelievable. And then one of the birds flies down out into the field that we're in. The first one flies down. And it starts making its way to the decoys. And it's an awesome Jake, like a cool Jake. And then about 15 to 20 hens kind of come up close to it within 30 yards of us.
Oh, yes.
Literally within 30 yards. And I'm thinking, and I've got 8 tags. Danielle's got tags. Ellie's got tags, like several tags. And I'm thinking to myself, we literally could feed, 100 people with the tags we have. And Ellie says,
she did.
I think we should wait, guys.
Reason why she said, think we should wait.
Joel, Danielle, tell me what's going on.
Oh, slow down. I completely agreed.
You did agree with me, yes.
I said,
and then there were regrets.
It was the coolest thing ever. Because these birds were right within perfect ethical shooting range of us. And we all three who are hunters, who eat what we kill, who are driven to, kill something and eat it, we said no. At this point, we would much prefer to watch what is happening because it was so beautiful and so unbelievable. Because we haven't gotten to the craziest part of this hunt yet.
And when I slapped on your leg, I was like, buddy!
These birds, so there's about 30 or 40 birds within ethical shooting distance in front of us. And we said, and Ellie said, I think we should just wait. And we waited and watched. And that was one of the, and then they kind of walked away. We didn't take that opportunity. And then all of us were kind of looking at each other like, did we just blow our opportunity?
I was like, hey guys, sorry about that. But I think they're going to be back. Like, just wait.
And then Danielle starts slapping my leg. And I'm thinking to myself, what on earth? And it starts to sound like,
for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
15.
Maybe 5. I don't know.
No,
the sky
like
erupted.
10, 15,
it was
20 minutes.
Insane. Goosebumps.
Bird after bird after bird after bird after bird flying down from the roost.
Yeah.
Not 50 turkeys, not 100 turkeys, not 150 turkeys, but 200 to 300 turkeys. So many. Never seen something like that.
And they were still, that was just in one section. They were still
behind us.
Flying down behind us. Flying down in front of us. It literally looked.
The ground was moving.
Yes.
Ellie said it looked like the scene from Wizard of Oz with the flying monkeys.
Yes.
It did.
It did. I mean, it was the most overwhelming. It was insane. I had chills and goosebumps up my spine for 15 minutes straight. You couldn't, they didn't stop.
With the fog and like the dark fog, cloud you'd see of turkeys.
At the last beautiful. Minute.
So breathtaking.
It was unbelievable. It was one of the most crazy experiences I have ever had in the woods. And I got to share it with you guys. I got to share it with my longtime co-host, Danielle. And it was just so unbelievable.
And on our way to breakfast, I texted the landowner. I was like, we just experienced the most incredible, all caps, hunt of my life. Like, this was absolutely perfect. Thank you so much. And I baked her a pot pie of the turkey that I shot. But one of my top three favorite moments of that hunt is when we got back to the truck with everything and Joel goes, hand five, and gives me a high five.
I did. I am not a high five fan, and I want to be clear. I give you a hand five, not a high five. And there is proof that someone else says hand five because I said it.
You did.
We haven't even gotten to the culmination of the hunt yet. So we just sat and watched. There were birds everywhere. Nothing was on the decoys at that point. There was nothing within shooting distance at that point. We just sat and watched.
Yeah, they drifted actually away from us.
It was one of the coolest, quite a bit away. Mm-hmm. It was one of the coolest experiences of my life. And then there were some on the neighboring property. And then Ellie, you were kind of telepathic that day.
Telepathic.
You had turkelepathy.
Sure did. I saw that Jake and I read his mind and I'm good. Like, yep, you're coming.
There was a nice big Jake in the neighboring field and she's like, just don't worry, he'll come to the decoys. And we had a Jake out and people don't run decoys usually in the fall. I call and run decoys and I find they do fairly similar things that they do in the spring. Mm-hmm. I love hunting turkeys in the fall. And she's like, he'll come, don't worry, he's coming. Well, I'll be darned if like 20 minutes later, he joined up with his bachelor buddies. And I always tell everybody, a bunch of Jakes are like dudes at a bar and someone else is talking to the ladies and they get frustrated and they can't help it. And they got to come over and pick a fight. And sure enough, pretty soon we had five Jakes at the decoys, 15 yards in front of us. Mm-hmm. And we each, Danielle and Ellie shot once and I shot twice and we had
you hammered
four.
That one. That was,
yeah, like
70
yards, 60, 70.
It was so far away.
To be fair, I was using a 3.5-inch TSS and I had a custom built choke for it that shoots a softball size pattern at about 60 yards. So I felt that was an ethical shot to take. And I took it and leveled the fourth turkey. But we ended up having four turkeys on the ground in one of the coolest hunts I have ever had.
Yep.
And I want to thank you, Danielle,
yes,
for helping set
you,
that up.
Yes,
but
yes.
Also know that when you approach Ellie, Danielle, me, Mike Kretschmer for that matter, Megan Matthews for that matter, Alex Ezel, and you say, hey, I don't know about this hunting thing. I'd like to try it. We will get you in the field
absolutely.
At some point.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes,
don't,
they will.
You don't have to say, I hear them on the radio.
I'm getting
to that in a second. You don't have to say, I hear them on the radio and I think they're full of baloney. We're dead serious about it. And one of the ways we're going to prove that is we're going out next weekend with producer Jess, who has never hunted before in her life, except she is now a real hunter.
Yes,
I am. Because
she
went along with us and she learned one of the toughest lessons.
Patience.
Mm-hmm. It
one
does.
Of the toughest lessons. We hunted with Jess. And I'm just going to give a little preview of that. We hunted with Jess and it was an afternoon hunt. And sure as heck, those turkeys did exactly what we thought they would do. They read the book. They read the script. Mm-hmm. They were just very, very, very slow about finishing the movie because they ended up coming back to the roost just after shooting time.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we watched them march right toward us for about an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. And
what was that like for you?
Are we allowed to ask this? Are we having a segment about it?
We're going to talk about Jess. We're going to have segments about it with her once we hunt with her again this weekend.
I will save my questions.
But I want to say, I was never so proud of a new hunter in my life. You were awesome, Jess.
Aww.
You had patience. You laughed your rear end off.
Oh,
with
I was having
Ellie
a fantastic time.
We had charcuterie in the blind. Oh, it was fantastic.
That venison sausage, I haven't stopped thinking about it.
If you want to snack while you're hunting, invite Ellie. You take care of everybody. Like,
there is no doubt about
it. You're fantastic, Ellie.
When you go fishing, do you take a snackle box?
You know it.
I want to be clear with all the folks who've done dad jokes tonight, except me. We had such a great time with Jess, and Jess is somebody who, is it fair to say you probably never would have even thought of hunting if you weren't producing this show before you knew
thought
us?
Thought of, yes.
Or executed?
Genuinely thought that I had a path to it? No.
Jess, after being out there with you, like you were such a trooper. It was so cold and windy. And you loved, I could just tell you loved every second of it.
I did. I was loved having being a fantastic out there with you. Time from it was start fantastic. To finish.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, it was great.
That makes you so happy.
And if there's any way to get out there and not close the deal and still have an amazing time, I think that hunt with Jess proved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also proves that Danielle and I are not joking when we talk about we will help you do that. And listening to the show is going to give you the tools that will make it available to you as a realistic thing. Boy, that's exciting. So we had an unbelievable hunt. I'm really excited about this weekend because we're going to have a chance to hunt with Jess. And we're going to talk now about Mike Kretschmer and Nye's Premium Meats coming up. That is going to be very exciting. Give me two things, Mike Kretschmer, that we're going to be talking about as far as the importance of taking care of your meat and a way to cook it.
I would say trimming, number one, and washing and cleaning up your meat before you prepare it.
That's going to be great. I can't wait. Mike Kretschmer is an expert. He's filled in on the show. He's a good hunting buddy of mine. And now he's a big wig at a meat company. So that's going to be exciting to talk about. And we're going to give you a recipe for pronghorned antelope that you can use with any backstrap. What a great day. So happy you're along. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now that, Ray Charles, I could use as a motto for life. You only live but once, and when you're dead, you're done. So never, ever, ever going to be on your deathbed and say, I'm glad I didn't do it. And that,
I like that
is one of the themes of Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman sitting alongside with me. Both of our fill-in co-hosts are here, Ellie Mae Smoller and Mike Kretschmer.
It's a party tonight.
It is a party. It's quite a party. Megan Matthews is hanging out, smiling and chuckling from time to time. I appreciate that. Mike, listen. You are here in a different capacity today, which I'm pretty excited about. Mike is a bigwig over at Nye's Premium Meats in Slinger. So go out and see him. I have to tell you, I had the raw beef and onions today. And oh my gosh, Cannibal Sandwiches, they just really do it for me. They're fantastic. And it was so fresh. It was unbelievable. Great lunch today. Thank you so much.
No problem.
That was fantastic.
Am I the only one in this room that does not like Cannibal Sandwiches?
I don't know. Jess, are you a Cannibal Sandwich kind of gal?
I'm not.
No, she's not. So I find it in Wisconsin
I've
to be about 50-50.
Because my mind is
Your mind can't get past it. Do you like medium rare meat?
Oh, I love medium rare meat.
Then you would love cannibal sandwiches.
But I don't like cold sandwiches.
Well, okay. Well, slap it on.
I did try it sometime.
Slap it on the grill for 10 seconds each side. Sear the outside and try it.
All right.
I bet you'd like it.
There's a key with that, though.
What's the key?
Real good, fresh, ground sirloin or ground round. Ooh. Like, fresh. And you got to be real careful with it. I mean, theoretically, Joel and I were talking, and it you know, raw beef, it can be touchy.
Well, so, yeah, of course. Anytime you're dealing with meat, you got to be careful in the preparation. And I am not advising you to go eat raw meat.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Follow the cooking instructions with what makes you comfortable and understand the risks. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
But that's not why we have Mike here. We have Mike here because I want to get into a couple quick things about meat and meat preparation. The first question, you're an avid hunter.
Yep.
We're eating bear tonight, black bear sticks. And with bear, you got to be real careful because it can carry trichinosis.
Correct.
So it is something that you have to handle carefully. You got to grind it separately. Wash your grinders real carefully. Tell me about, I want to know, you now work for a purveyor of fine raised beef, right?
Yep.
What is the difference in preparation when you're making a meal between wild game and store purchased meat?
Well, there's a lot of people don't know there's different quality and grades of beef. First of all, you have like a no roll, a select cut, a choice, upper two-thirds choice, and then a prime. And prime is is a real select, like I think 5% or something on the
Make it into the prime category.
Yeah, it's really tough to grade it because it's all it is a person standing in the big beef world. It's somebody standing there going, "That's choice. That's prime."
Because they're not eating it, right?
They're not eating it. You're not even cutting into that animal, so it's it's so based on the age of the animal, the size of the animal. So all these things are playing a factor in how an animal is graded.
And we just had the holidays. So, I mean, this advice you can take for you now for the new year, use it at birthday parties, use it at, you know, the next holidays that come through. Valentine's Day is around the corner.
My big thing is when people are asking me, I want a really good steak for Christmas, New Year's, our anniversary, something like that. If you're grilling or cooking a steak, you want to be in that upper two-thirds choice and into the prime quality. Now, if you're doing like a rib roast, like a standing rib roast, at, also known as prime rib, that you can get away with just your maybe a select or choice quality because you're roasting it. It'll break it down a little bit more versus a steak. But
and when it comes to wild game, can you do the same things with wild game as store purchased meat across the board, or are there things you got to be careful of?
I mean, store purchased meat, pork, beef is a little fattier. So you got to be a little bit more on the medium to medium rare, in my opinion, on the wild game side with the...
Because it doesn't have that fat, which is adding that juice to the meat as it cooks.
You could dry it out a lot easier.
Sure.
But I mean, as if you know, your loyal listeners know that you do very, very well with a lot of your wild game. And I've had numerous different stuff you've made and it turns out phenomenal. So I like... You're an inspiration to me. Like you can laugh at it, but I'm like serious. Like the goose you made, I've shot in a lot of animals and some of that stuff you make, I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I eat it and I was like, whoa.
You're very kind.
But yeah.
I'm not this fat by coincidence.
Shut up, Joel.
Ellie Mae Smaller, I want to ask you the same question because you are a classically trained French chef. People think of that and they think fancy schmancy.
No, but you doesn't have to be.
You cook a lot of wild game in the tradition of being a French trained chef.
Yeah.
And I think that scares a lot of people. Should it?
No, not at all. I mean, you kind of know my cooking style. You guys have heard me say, it's selfish kind of because I say follow your heart. But a lot of people are like, no, I can't do that. I need a recipe. I need to follow it. Yeah. Take any recipe, beef, pork, chicken, and swap it out with that wild game. Try it. You know, like Mike said, to his point, the wild game is leaner. So add a fat to it. Joel, you put oil in yours, when you cook it, and acid. It'll work.
That is absolutely great advice. We, in fact, I'm going to tell you about something I made last night off the cuff in 5 minutes. I had a head of cabbage left and it was shredded and it was about 3-4 days old. And I thought I better eat this or it's going to be get thrown away. In fact, I was about to throw it away. I pulled it back out and I put half olive oil, half butter. Butter is the key to life, in my opinion, in a pan. And I started reducing, just started sauteing the cabbage. You know, the water's going to come out of it. And I added soy sauce to it. I added a little right wing sauce, which is a buffalo sauce. I added a little hoisin sauce to it, a couple different seasonings, the provider dragon I put in there. And I'm tasting it as it goes, because if there's not a meat in it that you're worried about cooking all the way, you can taste as you go. That's one of the keys that I use as not a classically trained chef, and that I wilted the cabbage all the way down until it was fork tender, but still had body to it, had a little bit of a crispness to it, and you can taste it along the way. And then I put some antelope. I had some braised antelope, and I chunked that up and sauteed that real quick on the top. And then I added peanuts because I didn't have sesame seeds. Oh my gosh, my mouth is watering while I'm talking about it. It was so good. It turned out so good.
How... was it sagey?
No, it wasn't. But I was. Another story. I had that's yeah. The story for another day. I had that antelope from an area where it eats alfalfa, so it didn't have that sagey taste to it. Guys,
I like the sagey taste.
I don't mind it either. I think it complements it. Add some more sage, make it really sagey. Well, this has been one sagey edition of Raised in Wisco, and we love that you come along with us on all your civic media stations Saturdays at 11. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. The cast and crew here. Thanks you for coming along. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.